Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Moody on the mic, back for another week. It is, of course, the best week of the year for huge race days. It's Fabulous Flemington. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me, as they always do, the man of the podcast is named after, Peter Moody. Anthony Mithen, the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett also here. And gentlemen, we spoke last week about what a great Cox Plate field it looked to be. Ladbrokes Cox Plate field, sorry, Tom. And didn't it deliver in spades? What a magnificent edition of the Cox Plate, Ladbrokes Cox Plate, it was.
It was very exciting, wasn't it, Roger? Unbelievably competitive race. They came from everywhere. Everything seemed to have a chance. Few of them said they ran up behind them. I think the right horse won on the day, just nutted. Unbelievably consistent horse of the probably season, ran second, and it was just terrific competitive racing all day, the Valley, and on the Friday night as well. But there's something in the air about this week, isn't there? It's just unbelievably exciting. You head into those 4 days at Flemington, is it the biggest week in sport? I don't know. I'll throw it over to you, Mytho. I'm just lost for words. I'm just that excited.
Man, that's what people want in the podcast. They want the host to be lost for words, Moods. That's what they come here for.
Like, we've missed a big trick here on Moody on the Mic. We've missed a massive trick because, Rayman, a question without notice, but we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, and races in South Australia today at Strathalbyn. You may have noticed. I'm sure you would have had a bet there at Strathalbyn, Rayman. And look, race four was a very interesting race, and it was a race that I just found, you know, I felt a bit embarrassed, to be honest, that we'd missed such a massive milestone. But if you could just sort of go to race four, really, Rain Man, for us and tell us exactly what the race was called.
Peter Moody's 80th birthday handicap, a class one.
Class one handicap. I can understand why Peter's so excited. You know, I mean, he's had his blue pill. He's ready for the week. He's up and about. And at 80, Pete, I've got to pay my respects to your youthful look and the way you're getting about. I mean, some people would have you plus 80, but, you know, I reckon you're doing okay for 80. That's good boy. Well done.
I thought I looked very good for 80, Mytho. It has been pointed out to me on numerous occasions today, so you haven't just made this race up, but... Now, happy birthday to Graeme Peter Moody of South Australia, one of the great trainers.
The original Peter Moody.
He just doesn't like the name Graeme, so he calls himself Peter, and then along I came 30 years later just to annoy it and try and steal away some of his kudos.
Let's go back to what you did touch on before, Moods, and not your 80th birthday, but you did touch on Imperatrix, and Rayman, you would have been on hand at the Valley on Saturday afternoon, and we do have a new sprint queen, and she now holds all those Valley Sprint Group 1s, and Opie Boston Salem might be the best horse he's ever ridden. We get to see her again on Champions Day, but she is something special, and did it. That was track work in a Group 1.
Yeah, we were saying on the day, it was an exhibition gallop, basically, for $2 million. She jumped so well. Like, I don't think anyone had in their speed maps Imperatrix leading, but she jumped so well. I think Opie just did the right thing and let a fast horse run fast. And he was sitting on her as quiet as a church mouse at the 400, and you can see J-Mac on its knees, scrubbing the ears off it. They're all off the bit and chasing a long way from home. And I just stood there and clapped her in the straight. It was as impressive a win as you'll see in person. It was absolutely dominant. And yes, she is now, has put her hand up as the best sprinter in Australasia. And we'll see her again in the champion sprint down the Flemington straight now. I guess probably the pot on her that some people say, oh, is she just a Valley specialist? So she'll get a chance to prove that's not the case when she goes down the straight on Champions Day.
And I'm not going out on a limb, but it was reminiscent of watching Black Caviar in that middle stage when Bossom sort of put the foot down, sort of 500 out, 600 out, and took good fast horses clean out of their comfort zone. I haven't seen any sectionals in that race, but that sort of 600 to 400 or 500 to 300, which I know isn't a sectional, she just took them clean out of their comfort zone, and it was really superb. Uncommon James, like, he's an Oakley Plate winner. He's a bloody good horse. I Am Me, I'm not sure of her ability, but she came off that race. She won the consolation for the Everest in Sydney. Probably unlucky not to have gained a start in it. You know, they're good horses. That, you know, they're not multiple Group 1 winning horses, but Uncommon James is a Group 1 winning horse. Yeah, no, it was superb. She looked great. If she can carry that form down the Flemington Straight, holy hell, she's going to take some running down in the champion sprint.
And we've got our headline now too. Moody compares Imperatrix to Black Caviar.
Well,
You said it. The interesting thing is down the straight, though, obviously In Secret is going to be in that race as well. And In Secret is very much, grows a leg down the Flemington Straight. So, you know, she's going to be up against some stiff competition. If she blows away on Saturday, well then, yes, the world's her oyster. From that, there was another big moment at the Belly on the weekend. It came Friday night, and that was Moods and Meachie and their 300th winner together. So you've got, what, 900 with, well, nearly 900 with Luke and 300 with Meachie. Do you even use any other jockeys? Like, is it just those two? You don't need any others?
I'm a bit disappointed in myself that I didn't attend the Valley on Friday night. My wife and daughters attended in my absence, along with Catherine, my co-trainer. So, you know, it was a terrific milestone to win 300 races. And Linda and I go back a long way. She served part of her apprenticeship with myself some 20 years ago. So a bit of longevity there for each of us. And well done to her. She's been as big a part of my success as I have hers. So terrific win. She's a very underrated rider and does a hell of a job, and she's built a great association with She Dances, the mare that we spoke of that won that race on Friday night. I think once again I might have declared her my best of the weekend. I'm not sure. You'll have to go back and replay the show again last Wednesday, like the previous 18 Wednesdays, when I think nearly my best has won, and Rain Man hasn't brought up that stat for this season, but I think I'm probably cruising along pretty nicely there. But no, well done to Linda. Terrific win. And And owned by Jerry Ryan, a great racing man here in Victoria, and another one of our great Australian sports stars, Frank Sedgman. Of course, Frank, 96, I think he was last week or the week before, and still loves his racing and gets a great thrill out of watching She Dances go around.
Yes, his grandson works at the VRC, and he informed me of the fact that he was part owner of She Dances. We don't obviously have Linda Meach on the show today, but Mytho, could you just give us a bit of a, what do you think Meachie's words to Moods might have been after the, you know, the notoriety of winning a 300th race together?
She was always going to shit in. She just, you know, she's trained up to the minute, and I wrote her a treat, and look forward to having a bit of lunch with you on Sunday, Moods. How'd the lunch go with Screechy Meachie?
We had a wonderful afternoon up here on Battlers Hill at South Belgrave on Sunday, Mytho.
Did Mytho get invited?
Mytho didn't get invited. He had other commitments, unfortunately. But no, it was good. It was good. Terrific. And
she's a ripper, Meachie. She's just a professional at her job. She's great with the owners. She tells you exactly how it is. There's no mincing words, which you love. And I love her because she gives every horse a chance. She bangs them up on speed. She gives you a look. And we had Gay Waterhouse here at the farm today. Actually, we were talking about the female riders that do that. And, you know, Winona Costin, another one who's trying her luck down here in Victoria after, you know, being taught everything. Well, taught a lot that she knows from Gay Waterhouse. And I actually was speaking about Moods, saying, well, Moods is the master of, you know, coaching those jockeys, particularly female jockeys, to bang them up on speed and make sure you put yourself in the race. And I think Linda openly has admitted this publicly, that she's not the most talented rider in the world, but what she does is gives every horse a chance because of what Moods you know, taught her all those years ago. You're hard pressed to win like bloody Brooklyn Hustle.
The great horse.
Little blonde on a Brooklyn Hustle on the way out.
Little backhander. We would be very remiss of Ladbrokes Cox Plate weekend not to touch on the great performance of Hong Kong's champion Romantic Warrior in defeating our Victorian champion Mr. Brightside, albeit of the shortest of margins. rails hugging ride, Mr. Brightside. I watched it and I thought, great, he's home. What a tremendous preparation. And J-Mac just extracted every millimetre out of Romantic Warrior, didn't he? And picked him up and carried him over the line. And a terrific effort to the team to come down from a foreign environment, Hong Kong. We quite often, and I'm as much as anyone, say they're sort of in a fishbowl up there and they're sort of hometown champions. But for a Romantic Warrior to come down here and do it on foreign soil, tremendous effort to all involved, Denny Shom and the team. And, kudos to them for taking it all on. So it'll be good to see how he goes back home and competes in his big international day in December now, I suppose.
And where Mr. Brightside might actually meet him again. Who knows what might happen in that respect. It did seem to mean a lot to J-Mac. Obviously, it's a Cox Plate win. He won it last year, but there was something different about it this year. And I know his wife, Caitlin Mellion, she was there, and you could hear on the coverage, she was quite emotional. I was talking to someone who was behind the scenes with her there and said they've never seen anything like it after a race. She was completely overcome with emotion. So I don't know whether that's because he was a catalyst for bringing the horse out here to tackle the race or the fact that she wasn't able to be there when he won in the Melbourne Cup or last year's Cox Plate, but it seemed to mean a hell of a lot to both J-Mac and Caitlin, and good to see.
I think it was probably a combination of all those things, Rog, and in particular, I mean, it's always satisfying when you have an intimate part to play, not just legged up, ride the horse, come back, hoist the trophy up, but he'd really ridden the Romantic Warrior wave from making the decision. I'm sure he would have had a say in the planning of his work leading up to the race from the gallop on the Monday morning at Moonee Valley, which I think we told everyone about here on last week's podcast. He broke all sorts of track records in his gallop. So, the planning that goes into it, I think it becomes far more satisfying. And also, he thought he got beaten. He said that afterwards, didn't he? He thought he'd been nutted on the line by Mr. Brightside up the inside, but he got the head down, and Craig Williams was left to lament.
Credit to as well the third place getter Alligator Blood, as gallant as ever, right there on the speed. Just when they hit he sort of gave a kick at the top of the straight. I thought maybe Gay Waterhouse would get her Ladbrokes Cox Plate, but he was run down. But still a gallant effort. I think if you look at the rides on all three of the place getters in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, I think James McDonald, the second year in a row, has produced an absolute peak on the Ladbrokes Cox Plate favourite. Craig Williams on Mr. Brightside, not going around a horse, might be one of the best losing rides we've ever seen in a Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And I think Tim Clark on Alligator Blood timed his run to perfection as well. So some great rides by the horses in the placings. And then you look at some of the Beaton Brigade, I think there's horses to follow going forward. Douay never really got a clear crack at them. She'll go now to the Champion Stakes over 2,000 metres at Flemington. Gold Trip is still humming along as well as ever. He chasing back-to-back wins in the Melbourne Cup, and there was nothing wrong with the runs of Fangirl or Militaraz either. So it was going into it, looked like a very even Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Coming out of it, it's a very even Ladbrokes Cox Plate. I think it would be a strong piece of form going forward.
Ooh, race 7's about to jump. What do we reckon, lads?
A guy in the community says he's keen on the roughie.
Do we trust him?
Well, his username is I'm a Real Big Stats Guy.
Say no more.
Connect, banter and follow tips with a community of like-minded punters only in Ladbrokes communities. Ladbroke it. T's and C's apply and available on website. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Massive racing, obviously, at Flemington, as we touched on, but there's also some big races in Sydney as well. None bigger than the Golden Eagle, a race that Peter Moody and I wish I'd win one last year. Rain Man, take us through the market for this year's Golden Eagle.
It's a great betting race this year, the Golden Eagle. Hawaii 5-0 coming out of the Everest is the favourite. He's $4.20. Amelia's Jewel, the best horse in the universe, on the second line of betting at $4.60. Kiwi Mare Legato won the Australian Guineas earlier this year. Great piece on Ladbroke's social media channels about her at the moment. She's $8.50. Kovaliki getting $10. There's Group 1 winners scattered right throughout this race. Osipenko's a Group 1 winner. He's $12. Ruthless Dame's a Group 1 winner. She's $20. Attrition's a Group 1 winner. He's $23. Golden Mile's a Group 1 winner. Radine is a Group 1 winner. Communist is a Group 1 winner. There's Group 1 winners all the way through this field. I think there's some value to be found. I do think Hawaii 5-0 is the horse to beat, though. Gets out to 1,500 metres now at this stage of his preparation, but he's always given me the understanding that he might enjoy that trip, that he could even get out to a mile. We saw him run well in a Stradbroke Handicap earlier this year, over 1,400 metres. He was not disgraced at all in an Everest. He finished sixth, beating just over two lengths by Think About It. I think the form coming out of the Everest is already stacked up pretty well. Espiona winning the invitation last week. I think Hawaii 5-0 is the horse to beat. I think Kovalika at $10 is a really good value. He's going to need a bit of luck in running from barrier 16, but he gets back, he'll run on. I think he's just working his way into his preparation. This is his grand final. We know how good a grand final trainer Chris Waller is. So I think $10 for him is a little bit silly. And you might want at $20 to throw in your exotics each way. We'll need a bit of luck in running from a barrier 20. But Ruthless Dame on the quick backup from the invitation last week was unlucky before that in the Silver Eagle, was a good run in the invitation on the week. And I think she can run a big race at $20. So my three in the Golden Eagle, Hawaii 5-0, Kovalika and Ruthless Dame.
I thought Legato ran one last start, but before that, she third behind Skew Whip. I thought it was a little bit disappointing in her first Australian run when I had high hopes. So I'm probably going to leave Legato out of it, potting that form. I'm still going to stick with Amelia's Jewel. I still have faith that there was an issue last start and that we might see the best of Amelia's Jewel on Saturday. She might get out beyond $5. So I'll just hold your bullets there if she does. But I agree with you, Rayman. The other horse I want to be with is Kovalika at $10. If he can overcome that wide barrier, as you mentioned, it's not a death sentence given his racing style. I think Kovalika looks the overs at 10s, but I'm hoping Amelia's Jewel returns to form, because I really want her to be as good as we thought she was when we were speaking about it not too long ago. And, you know, Mitho thinks she's the best horse in Western Australia. So you're still with her, Mitho?
Yeah, absolutely. Best horse this spring to come from Western Australia. And for that reason, I'm going to stick with her. Just downgrade her a little from the universe. But, I like her a lot still. I'm not the, throw the baby out with the bathwater type. So I'm sticking with Amelia's Jewel. And I, like you, Roger and Rainman, like Kovalika as the danger. Hawaii 5-0 will be there, giving good sight. I'll be centering all bets around Amelia's Jewel to beat Kovalika.
I've always been a Legato fan. Amelia's Jewel, blinkers on, certainly makes it a very interesting case for her. And she does have the I Wish I Win form lines, beaten favourite in a Turak heading into this race, the Golden Eagle. So I'm certainly not thinking that Amelia's Jewel's without a chance, but I just thought Legato. She was my earlier season pick to win the Cox Plate, actually. She then had a program change to aim at this. I just can't get out of my head. She was super in that Australian Guineas. And if she can replicate that form Sydney direction, I think she's certainly the one to beat. Amelia's Jewel, very hard to beat if she bounces back to that earlier form. She has a strong form line through those very good Melbourne mares, those household names, Life Lessons, and a couple of others that she narrowly beat. Pride of Jenny. So that'll carry her a long way, back when she was the best horse in the universe. So I've certainly got to respect that.
And, geez, you're a potter. You are a potter. Why can't you talk her up?
I was just sort of thinking of what you were saying here a month or 6 weeks back, so I just wanted to remind you of that. But I've got Legato just on top for me. And listen, as you said in the rundown, Rain Man, when you touched on every horse, there's Group 1 winners and Group 1 form all the way through it. But Legato for me, I think she's the one to beat.
We have got a near full field, 19 runners in the Coolmore Stud Stakes, the first of the Group 1s on the program at Flemington on Saturday. Rayman, if you could give us a snapshot of the market and a snapshot of your thoughts and not run through the whole 19.
Well, I've got to run through the whole 19 if we want to touch on Treasure Ray, who's the 201 outsider. But before that, we'll at the top of the market.
Needed the tickets.
Yeah, is Cylinder is the favourite here at $3.60. The Golden Slipper winner, Shinzo, $7. King Gambit, $7.50. There's been a little early money for I Am Unstoppable, $16 into 11. Stapati backing up off the Crawford Guineas is $12. And your favourite horse, Rod, Strident Angel, is there at $12 as well. I think Cylinder is clearly the horse to beat here. He was mammoth in the the Everest. He finished fifth, but certainly not disgraced against the older horses here. And on pure ratings, that's comfortably the best performance we've seen from any of these three-year-old sprinters so far this season. So he's clearly the horse to beat for me. Drawn barrier 14, which I think will be the right part of the track. I think Cylinder is one of the best bets of the day at $3.60. Clearly top pick for me.
Well, as you mentioned, one of my favourite horses, and I'm sticking with the filly in the Stallion Making race. We saw In Secret come out and win it last year. I'm not saying Straight Angels In Secret, but I agree. I just wonder whether Cylinder might have been peaking last start for his grand final in the Everest. But no doubt he still remains the horse to beat. But I think Stratton Angel at $12 is a nice each way bet. So I'm going to stick with one of my faves and stick with Stokesy and give me a bit of Stratton Angel.
Yeah, well, I think Cylinder, its run in the Everest to set it up perfectly for what will be an exciting race. People will be asking the question, what is Treasure Way doing in the race, given that she's in from 300 to 1 to 200 to 1 on the Ladbrokes market. But roll the dice in a Group 1 race. You're only three once. I think this is her perfect trip. 1,200 at Flemington. She likes Flemington. And I've never sent around a better 200-to-1 shot than this. She got beaten just over three lengths from Arkansas Kid with an unlucky run last start at Caulfield. Back at Flemington before that, in the Danehill, she's run fifth behind Stratton Angel, beaten 2.5. I don't reckon she deserves to be 200-to-1. She's a Group 3 winner at 2. If she bobs up in your first four and tips you out, well, you can remember back to when you listened to this podcast and thought, I wished I'd thrown that horse in the red colours in. So Cylinder will win, Treasure Way to run a bold race and finish top five.
Moods, if you could be a bit quicker, because we've wasted a minute and a half on a 200-to-1 shot. So
I felt like I had to justify that, though. I just felt that way.
Yeah. She's got a great form at the track and trip. She's run one third there, so I can understand your confidence there, Mitho. But anyhow, let's move on. I'm with Cylinder. Listen, he's a rating special in this on his form, and that fifth in the Everest, I think, makes him a clear top pick. King's Gambit was very good when he went back to Sydney, over raced badly down the straight. I reckon barrier two, it's usually considered, and for Stapardi, barrier one, usually considered a bit of a downfall here, but the fact that he might get smothered away and M. Zara is riding in such great form, he could be the horse to beat. We've seen him show utter signs of brilliance that indicated that he could have far and away been the best three-year-old in the land at times throughout his career. And if he did get that freakish run from buried back in the field from that inside draw, he might be the one flashing late. But it's hard to go away from Cylinder. He's drawn to get the run of the race out there, one would think, and be very, very hard to beat. But it's a terrific addition of this race. And hoping mate and neighbour Stokesy can strike a blow with Stratton Angel, that she probably needs to go up another little cog to get the job done.
Okay, the next Group 1 is the time-honoured BRC Derby. And in many ways, Rayman, it has become a Group 1 in name only, but what does the market say for this year's edition?
Riff Rocket is the dominant favourite here. Rog, $2.20. Apulia comes out of the Mooney Valley Bars. It's $4.20. Vidad, $7. And Moods and Lukey Nolan combined with Gates, who's there at $15 to win, $3.70 the place. I think Riff Rocket is a deserving favourite here. Favourites don't have a great record in the Victoria Derby. It's been a pretty good race for the bookies over the years, but I think Riff Rocket's clearly the horse to beat here. We all saw what he did in the Superimposed, where he won by 5.5 lengths. It was one of the most visually impressive wins of the season to date, and it was an impressive win on the clock as well. Was beaten as a short price favourite in the Caulfield Classic last start, but there was excuses there. That race was run at a very, very slow tempo. He just wasn't able to run down Sunsets there, so I'm happy to forgive that run. And if you do that, he is clearly the horse to beat here. I think he's clearly a deserving favourite. One for your exotics, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Moods has to say, but I think Gates is the best of the double-figure chances. He comes out of that Caulfield Classic as well, where, again, the race wasn't really run to suit him. Moods has said all along that this was his Derby horse. So Gates is one to add some value to your exotics, but Riff Rocket, clearly the horse to beat here for mine.
There's a part of me that doesn't want Gates to win because I had a futures, long-range futures multi of without a fight to win the Caulfield Cup, Gates to win the Derby, and I wish I win to win the Everest. So there's a part of me that actually does not want Gates to win this. I think Riff Rocket might be a Flemington horse, and so I think he's a deserving favourite. But, geez, I did like Apulia's run in the Moonee Valley Bars last weekend. I thought it was really strong to the line in winning that race and upsetting the favourite for Dad. So I think the market's got this one spot on, and the top two in the market are the two I want to be with. But I think I might actually, just based on his last Flemington start and the few things that did go wrong, I'm going to go with Riff Rocket. At, I would like more than 220, but I'm not sure I'll get it.
See, I reckon there's a trick here in this race, and that is Gates. I reckon they've got the market completely wrong here on this horse, given that Apulia backed up into the race on Saturday, the Vars, and was able to win that race and was confidently backed and some big bets landed. He ran fourth in the Caulfield Classic. Gates ran third. Riff Rocket ran second. Now, Gates is the only one at $15 on my Ladbrokes app. I can't understand why that horse is not shorter in the market. So there's a trick there for the punters to take the overs. I reckon he'll start shorter when the smart punters are opening up their form guides, realising that on Saturday morning. But you get the chance to bet on Wednesday night. So get into it, punters. Gates in the Rosemont Wiley Dalziel combined colours, trained by PG Moody. Let's get it done, Moods.
No knock from me. We've had this race in mind the whole season. His pedigree, everything about the horse suggests that he'll see out the trip. I'm not going to knock him. Slightly wide in the draw, but I don't think that's a disadvantage because we saw when he drew good in that Caulfield race and he's not the first into gear out of the gates and then he got shuffled back to last. So from this draw, I think although it's probably going to look a bit ugly at the winning post the first time, he could be five or six or seven deep. It will allow Nolan from that section of the 2,000 of the mile to roll to a spot where he feels he needs to be. Now, could that even be in front or up and about the speed? Because I just doubt the tempo in this race again. I've got no doubt Johnny Allen on Sunsets, who actually did win that race at Caulfield, probably looks to roll forward from gate 16 and control the tempo again as well. Riff Rocket's going to get all the favours. Did we see his grand final at that Flemington run two starts back? And is he on a downward spiral or is he just a Flemington horse? If he reproduces that Flemington run here, he's going to be the horse to beat. But I think Gates each way at 12-1. I'm with you, Mytho. Over the Quinella again, Riff Rocket and Sunsets. I think they'll be the three to beat here.
I just would like to add for the listeners, obviously you can't see Moods at the moment, but his head is looking very shiny. He's definitely had a fresh shave this week, and we know that is a very strong form reference that he thinks he might be collecting a trophy on Saturday. So just keep that in mind before you're placing your bets in both the Victoria Derby and in the Empire Rose Stakes.
Interesting observation there, Rain Man. Flemington Race 8 is the third group one on the program. It is the Empire Rose Stakes and a very open Empire Rose Stakes.
Yeah, this is easily the most open group one of the day. Roger, tissue for James McDonald and Chris Wallace, the favourite, $5. Early support for Alcohol Free, $7.50 into $5.50. Princess Grace with Moods' favourite jockey, Jamie Spencer in the saddle, is there at $7. Hope in Your Heart, $7.50. Life Lessons, who's got that Amelia's Jewel form, is there at $18 to win, $15, $5 to place. And Pride of Jenny, another sparring partner of Amelia's Jewel, there at $23 to win, $6.50 to place. It's a very open race. You can make a case for any number of horses in this field. And the two I have backed is Alcohol Free and Princess Grace. Alcohol Free, it's just starting to show a bit of signs of life in Australia because if you look back at her form in the UK, she won a Sussex Stakes. And if you took her UK rating the day she won a Sussex Stakes and put her in this race, she'd be odds on. Her form in the UK is substantially better than any of the form in this field. And we're starting to see a bit of signs of life. She finished at the tail of the field in the Everest, but she was only narrowly beaten by Espiona in the invitation last Saturday. I like the fact that Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have got her on the quick backup. She's drawn barrier five. She'll go forward with Opie Bosson in the saddle. The other horse I do want to back is Princess Grace. She hasn't won this preparation, but if you look at her form lines, they're outstanding. She was second behind Fangirl narrowly in the Winx Stakes. We know what Fangirl has done since. She was second behind Mr. Brightside in the Memsie Stakes, beating home I Wish I Win. And we know what Mr. Brightside and I Wish I Win have gone on to do since. And then she was fourth behind Mr. Brightside in the Maccabi Diva Stakes. She was beaten as a short price favourite last start by Life Lessons, but I think she'll improve from that run. I think the Empire Rose does suit her. So $7, I think you want to have something on Princess Grace. But I do think that the knockout runner is Life Lessons. She did beat Princess Grace fair and square last start, eating $18 to win, $5 to place. I think she's a sneaky chance as well at a big price.
I tend to agree with Princess Grace. We were all singing her praises before the last start, and she was very short in the market and did run into that champion that is Life Lessons. I'm willing to forgive and give her another chance here, and I think at $7, she does look a really nice each-way bet. And Atisha's got that form around Espiona as well, and a winner here at Flemington, Cup Week last year, actually. I give her a chance, but I'm siding with Princess Grace just over a tissue. Would love to see Life Lessons win because I probably won't have a bet in the race, so it won't bother me.
Shuffle Dancer, drawn two, is a horse that is building in its prep and building quite nicely. Shuffle Dancer, reckon ready to win. The 1600 is probably the query that I'd like Peter to convince me that she will get the 1600, but just lipped out last start. By Rope Tarataki in the group race there at Caulfield. And she's going well this prep. And if she's going to see out the mile and get the mile from two, she could be smothered away. She'll get an economical run. Shuffle Dancer each way for me.
Yeah, no argument. She's in great order, Mitho Shuffle Dancer. She's built well towards this. Daughter of I'm Invincible. Does she see out a strong mile? We're yet to work that out, but she's probably going to get every chance in this race. Like you said, she's going to be very economical from the two alley. Probably going to need a little bit of luck from the top of the straight onwards and hope the gaps aren't going faster than her. Life Lessons, I can't. Her form lines are tremendous. For the life of me, barrier 18, she just doesn't get the credit she deserves, the stablemate. Last start winner over Princess Grace, one of the favourites in the race. And the Amelia's dual form line ran her to a half length to start before. If that's not the best form in the race, you know, I'm not sure what is. She's drawn out in 15. It's once again a little bit like Gates. She's not the best horse in the stride, and it takes her 100 metres to roll. And I think Daniel Stackhouse will be able to work to a spot and put her in the race. And I think it's a race that's probably, you know, you got Road to Arataki and Pride of Jenny probably roll forward. Then outside of them, I'm just wondering where the tempo is going to come from. I just thought Life Lessons might have been able to slide across and get into a lovely 1-1 or second, third pair run there and be very, very competitive. So I'm going there with confidence with both my mares that they're in very good order. Probably got slightly more confidence that Life Lessons sees out a strong mile, but agree with Rain Man's assessment or Roger, Rain Man, I think it was, alcohol free. Tough run in the Everest and then probably brought her on a bit and the last start was very good. Princess Grace has been unbelievably consistent all season. So on with mine, Life Lessons each way. I think she'll give a good sight probably and the two to beat being the top two, alcohol free and Princess Grace.
Hey lads, a guy in the community says he's keen on the roughy in race 7.
Do we trust him?
Well, his username is Big Stats Guy.
Say no more.
Connect with a community of like-minded punters, only in Labros Communities. T's and C's apply and available on website. Chances are you're about to lose.
Let's get our best bets out of the way, Raymond. You can start, please.
With Flemington, race 6, number 2, Cylinder in the Coolmore Stud Stakes. I think he's $3.70. I've got him marked $2.50. I think he is clearly the best bet on the program. That run in the Everest was outstanding. He was good before that in the Golden Rose as well. So I think as long as he handles the Flemington straight, he's going to be extremely, extremely tough to beat in the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Wouldn't be surprised we see a replica of Home Affairs, who absolutely flogged them in the Coolmore Stud Stakes, coming off a tough run in the Everest.
I'm with the Everest form as well for my best bet. Winners keep winning. And think about it. Yes, he is a run past his grand final, but think about it. Just keeps winning. And he won the Everest, and I think he'll go around the Gigi Kick Stakes on Saturday, 1,300 metres, and he'll win again. And $1.80 looks a spoil to me. I know it's short, but I would have had him marked a fair bit shorter. So think about it. Race 7, number 1 at Rose Hill.
I like what you're thinking there, Rog. I'll be having something on him as well. But best bet, Gates in the Derby. Just reckon he's way over the odds. So each way at the $15 on Ladbrokes as we speak on Wednesday afternoon. You can gobble that up because it won't last, I don't reckon. And I'm interested to see how Dancing Alone goes for Bryce Hayes and the team from Sydney. It's a very progressive horse for the ace. He's a good man, the owner, and I reckon she's a horse going somewhere, and been very patient with her, just built her confidence up with a couple of wins in Melbourne the last couple of starts. And I think Dancing Alone at $6 in race three in the 30 sprint, I'll be seeing if I can get my day started nicely with that as my first bet of the day.
Quite weekend for the boutique stable. We've touched on most of our runners at Flemington here. Sprinkle of runners at Moonee Valley Friday night, headlined by Lena's Reel, that probably we all had a little something on at Maui a couple of weeks back in a three-year-old maiden mile. He probably runs well there. And I think I've got two or three others. You'd follow them all each way Friday night, the Moody team, Moody Coleman team, to get a little bank into Saturday. We've touched on Gates in the Derby. I, with Mitho, I think he's terrific each way chance. I think he's terrific value at 18 to 1. I think Life Lessons also is a terrific each way chance and give you a good sight in the Mares Group 1, being the Empire Rose Stakes. Shuffle Dancer, certainly not the worst. She goes there in peak form. Just need to see her run out a strong mile. But my best for the weekend comes up in race 4 in the form of number 2, Chain of Lightning. I thought second up at the 1200 down the Flemington Straight. She's probably still not quite at the peak of her powers. She's getting ready for the Rupert Clark in a couple of weeks' time, but I reckon she can nearly snag this race on the way through. So race 4, number 2, Chain of Lightning, the best from the Moody Coleman stable. Each way all day, the others. Let's start one of the greatest weeks in Australian sport, Cup Week at Flemington, with a bang, team. Be happy, be healthy, and let fast horses run fast. Ladbrokes.